Welcome back, everyone. Today, we are doing a deep dive into something pretty controversial, actually.
Yeah, it can get a little intense.
It can.
Yeah.
And, you know, as always, we're going to approach it from a historical perspective and really look at all sides.
Right. Try to keep it objective as much as we can.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's always a challenge, right? Because we're dealing with...
Especially with this topic, I think.
Yeah, with this topic. Yeah, absolutely. So we are diving into anti-psychiatry today.
Big one.
Big one. And... you know, this is a movement that really challenges a lot of kind of fundamental ideas that we have about mental health.
For sure. And even the term mental illness is challenged. So,
I mean, kind of like, what is it all about, right?
Exactly.
So essentially, it argues that, you know, the concept of mental illness, the way that we think of it.
As like a disease.
Yeah, as a disease or a disorder, it argues that that may not be accurate.
Or that it's not helpful.
Or that it's not helpful the way that we're using it, right?
The way we're using it is the key part.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, this movement, it kind of gained a lot of steam in the 1960s and 70s. But the question is, are these ideas, you know, just echoes of the past, or are they things that we need to be paying attention to now?
Yeah, I think that's what makes it so interesting, because a lot of people think, oh, anti-psychiatry, that was a 60s thing, right?
Yeah, we're past that.
But it's seeped into so many other things.
Yeah.
That it's almost impossible to talk about mental health today without acknowledging the impact of that movement.
Exactly. And I think that's what we're going to try to do today is really look at where it came from, what its impact has been, and maybe where we are now because of it.
Right.
So I guess the first thing is, you know, where can we trace the beginnings of this movement?
So the term anti-psychiatry was actually coined in 1967 by a psychiatrist named David Cooper.
Okay.
And that's important because it was a psychiatrist.
It wasn't coming from the outside. It was coming from within.
Exactly. So they were questioning kind of the foundations of their own profession. And we see these ideas kind of bubbling up even before the term was coined.
Yeah.
Like in the early 60s, figures like R.D. Lang, who was also a psychiatrist, Thomas Szasz, he was a professor of psychiatry.
Okay.
So they were really some of the early critics.
So these figures, you know, Cooper, Lang, Szasz, they took some pretty controversial stances in challenging the traditional views of psychiatry.
Yeah, they did.
What were some of those?
Well, I mean, they weren't afraid to say that some psychiatric treatments at the time were actually more harmful than helpful.
Wow.
Think about lobotomies, for example. It was a pretty common treatment then, and it had devastating effects for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So they were really critiquing the overuse and misuse of these very powerful treatments.
Right. And were they also looking at the diagnoses themselves as being problematic?
Yeah, absolutely. So they were really questioning the validity of some diagnoses.
Okay.
Especially something like schizophrenia, which was very broadly defined at the time.
Right.
And they were arguing that mental illness is not just a biological phenomenon, right? So it's not just like a broken brain.
Okay.
They were arguing that social factors play a huge role.
Okay.
So, you know, the environment that you grew up in, your social class, your experiences, all of these things contribute to what might be labeled as mental illness.
Okay. So they were really challenging that kind of purely medical model of mental illness.
Exactly.
And I know we talked about, you know, these ideas maybe being echoes of the past, but you'd also mentioned that this movement is in many ways still alive today.
Right. It's like the ghost that keeps coming back to haunt us.
Right.
But, you know, in a good way.
In a good way, hopefully.
I think so, because it keeps the conversation going.
Right.
So how is it alive? Well, we see it in the communities of what are called psychiatric survivors.
Okay. And who are those folks?
So these are people who have been through the psychiatric system. And they feel they've been harmed by it in some way, whether it's through medication or involuntary treatment or just the whole experience of being labeled and pathologized.
Got it.
And they're very vocal online. You know, there are communities like MAD in America, which is a huge online forum where people share their stories.
So they're kind of carrying on these ideas of challenging the way that mental health is treated.
Yeah, absolutely. They're questioning the long-term effects of medication, the power imbalance between clinicians and patients.
Right.
They're really pushing for more autonomy and choice within the system.
That makes a lot of sense. And it seems like those ideas would also tie in with the disability rights movement.
Absolutely.
Right.
So disability rights advocates are fighting for people with disabilities to have the same rights and freedoms as everyone else.
Right.
And that includes people with mental health conditions.
Yeah.
So they're concerned about things like forced treatment, involuntary commitment. They're arguing that people should have the right to make their own decisions about their bodies and their minds.
Got it. So even if someone is making a decision that maybe a doctor or clinician doesn't agree with,
right,
they're saying that that individual still has the right to make that choice.
Exactly. And I think that's where the anti-psychiatry movement has had a lasting impact.
Right.
It's shifted the conversation towards this idea of patient autonomy and self-determination.
So what are some other impacts of the anti-psychiatry movement?
Well, I think one of the positive outcomes is that it led to more humane approaches to care.
Okay, how so?
So the movement championed things like therapeutic communities.
Okay.
Where the lines between staff and patients were blurred.
Interesting.
There was more of a focus on creating a supportive environment, shared decision-making, respect for individual autonomy.
So it wasn't so hierarchical. It was more collaborative.
Right. And I think that was a direct response to the kind of authoritarian practices that were prevalent in psychiatry at the time.
That makes a lot of sense. And so, you know, we talked about a lot of different people involved in the anti-psychiatry movement.
Yeah.
There's one in particular that I wanted to focus on.
Okay.
And that's Don Weitz, who's a human rights activist.
Yes.
And he actually identifies as an anti-psychiatry activist.
Me too.
And he's someone who, you know, really rejects this label of consumer for people on the mental health system.
Right. And I think that's a really important point.
Yeah.
Because on the surface, the term consumer might sound empowering.
Right. You're the one making the choice.
Exactly. You're in control.
Right.
But Don Weitz argues that if you don't have real choices within the system, if there's coercion, if you can be forced into treatment,
right,
then calling someone a consumer is meaningless.
It's almost ironic.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's pointing out this kind of hypocrisy in the system where the language of choice and empowerment is used, but the reality is very different for many people.
It doesn't really match up with the lived experience.
Right. And I think that's a really important critique to consider.
I agree. I think this has been a really fascinating deep dive.
Yeah.
It's really shown that, you know, this movement that started several decades ago is still so relevant today.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just about history. It's about people's lives and how they're being treated and how they're being cared for.
Absolutely.
And I think even if you don't agree with everything the anti-psychiatry movement stood for, it raises some really crucial questions that we still need to grapple with today.
Mm.
You know, how do we define mental illness?
Mm.
Who has power within the system?
Yeah.
How do we create a more humane and effective approach to care?
Yeah. And thinking about Don Weitz and that rejection of the term consumer, you know, I think it really asks us to think critically about, are there really choices within the current system?
Right.
And what would it look like to create a system where agency and autonomy are truly prioritized?
Big question.
Yeah, big questions to think about. So as always, you know, we hope this deep dive has given you some things to ponder and to consider.
Food for thought.
Food for thought. Absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we will see you next time.
See you later.